Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Way of the Dreamer. This is the radio show where we affirm the value and fun of playing with dreams and coincidence and imagination. This is Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest today is Marta Ali. I'm holding a very elegant book of poetry by Marta in my hot hand. As I speak to you, Marta is a therapist, a dream worker, actually a teacher of active dreaming, a singer, a poet, a dancer, a snake dancer, come to think of it, in Boulder, Colorado, and we're going to talk about turning dreams into poetry and developing poetic consciousness in life. And probably we'll find some moments to share dreams with each other and demonstrate something that we like to show off in these classes and these programs, which is our lightning dreamwork technique, a simple four-step technique, sharing dreams and stories, which if you haven't learned, you're going to want to learn. Welcome, Marta.
Thank you so much, Robert. I'm really happy to be here with you.
I read a guest blog by you on your poetry. The new book of poems by Marta is called Dream World at my blog not long ago, and we'll let people know how to find that. But I'd like to begin by asking you to read or recite one of your poems. Might you be ready to do that?
Sure, yes. I thought about this one that's called Also Our Angels, because this one is a little bit more about just having dreams in general and how I feel about them. So I'll start with this one.
Okay.
Also our angels. They come to us, each one its own animal, ready to bite or sting, wrestle us to the ground, or devour us whole. They come for sustenance, or understanding, or union. They come to love us, wake us out of our slumber, getting our attention by any means necessary, with a kissing or a killing, by delighting or disgusting, pummeling us with storms or fire, earthquakes, tsunamis, monsters so horrible only we can imagine them, because they know us. Our fears, our worst enemies, our hidden demons to conjure and thrust. And also our angels, our guides, and our gifts.
Well, that certainly grabs our attention, doesn't it? Angels that bite and sting and manifest through earthquakes and tsunamis are not the Hallmark greeting card kind of angels. Actually, I just ran a blog of my own on Gabriel as the Archangel of Dreams, and he, she can appear as quite fearsome, but when I first met Gabriel, he, she appeared as a being of radiant, almost feminine beauty, but that's not necessarily how angels appear. Your poem reminds me of a tale in contemporary Greek folklore which maintains that the mother of dreams is also the mother of animals, and if she wants to get a dream to a human, she would put it inside the skin or the hide or the plumage of a serpent or an animal or a bird, and she'll send it in that form. And if the human doesn't pay attention, even perhaps after being bitten or stung, she'll take it out and put it in another animal form and try again. So there is one thing in your poem which really goes to the heart of things, which is that the angel of our being is often coming to us in a way that says, wake up, get up, you know, change yourself, don't stay the way you've been, don't doze. The angels often sort of poke and prod. So that dream, that poem brings it home. So tell us, because we were interested in the creative manifestation from dreams, tell us how, you know, your dream, your imaginative life becomes a poem like that. Can you remember the process by which that poem came through you? You've described this as painting in words. What would you say about the process by which a poem like that comes through you?
Yeah, I mean, I think poetry is so perfect for dreams, and especially for me personally, because they're so visual, and I have a lot of animals and insects in my dreams and beings of different kinds. So, you know, I was in a wonderful writing group, poetry writing group, for a couple of years with a really great teacher, and we, before we wrote, we would tune into each one of our senses for a few minutes. Our sense of smell, what we were seeing, what we were tasting, what we could feel, and we would meditate on all of our senses and then write from that place. So often during that opening meditation, dreams would come to me, my memories of the dreams that I had had recently or characters from my dreams. So they just naturally came into my poetry reading, writing. And so once I noticed that when I meditated in this way, the dream images came, I realized that I wanted to focus on that and start to actually cultivate that process so that I could just conjure those again. So it just feels really natural. And, and I also, just to say, I also often have words come to me from characters in my dreams. So they will often come through, and I might read another one that has one of those, but like a quote from a character will then be the instigation for a poem because it's this amazing phrase that I wake up with.
All right. Well, we'll go on with that in a moment, but I want right now for you to turn this show for a few minutes into a workshop, a dream into poetry workshop. I want you to guide us through a process similar to the one that you described. Imagine that everybody here is gathered round you in a pleasant, cozy space. You're going to urge us to use our senses to bring up material the way that worked for you. You want to do that?
Sure.
Okay, so we are now your workshop group in a cozy, friendly space, Marta, and you're just going to do some version of what you said worked for you and let us see what we can produce.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So wherever you're sitting or standing or lying down right now, just start to focus inward. And to begin with, let's close our eyes. And we'll focus in on our physical sensations. What are you feeling? What are you aware of in your body? Do you feel the chair that you're sitting on? What do your hands feel as they rest on your legs or on the arms of your chair? Or maybe they're holding your pen. What do you feel as you breathe? Tune into the rising and falling of your chest as you breathe in and out. Do you feel cold? Do you feel warm and clammy? And now tune into your sense of smell. What can you smell in your environment? Maybe the coffee that you fixed for yourself earlier in the day. Maybe some smoke from incense that you're burning. Maybe you're outside and you can smell the trees or the flowers. And now, what do you hear? You might be hearing my voice. You might be hearing some dripping water from a faucet or someone walking down the hall. And now open your eyes. What do you see right in front of you, just in a simplest way? What's right in front of you, the colors, the textures, the objects? Maybe if you have a window that you can see out of, what's out beyond this room? And what do you taste? Is there a lingering taste from that coffee? Are you eating a little breakfast that you can still taste the green peppers in your eggs? All of these senses are what is happening right now. So from this place, you can pick up a pen, or if you're writing on a computer, go to your screen and start to write from the senses, from what you see, from what you smell, from what you feel in your feet. And let those sensations flow, and they will gather images or memories or thoughts about other things.
So you've engaged our senses, and now what are we going to do?
So now, from this place, pick up your pen or go to your keyboard if you're on your computer, and start to write about what you feel with your senses, with what you smell, with what you see right in front of you. And as you write from this present moment, other things will come into that stream, memories, images from your dream this morning, other thoughts, things that may not feel related at all. Just let them all flow together and keep coming back to the senses. And if you find yourself going out in some memory, find a way to bring it back to something that you're seeing or smelling. And let this weave in and out between what's happening right now in the moment with memories and images and sensations. And as you write, this will flow. Also allow yourself not to write in paragraph or full sentences, but just phrases or pieces. See what it looks like on the page as you write. It may take on a shape. It may have longer lines and shorter lines, incomplete sentences. Just let it flow out as its own form. Because in poetry, we want to let the content that's coming out actually create the form of the poem. We don't know what that's going to be ahead of time. It will evolve as we're creating it, and each poem will be its own form. So there you have your little being. That's your first poem from your senses.
That's very nice. It's interesting. I mean, I did all the things you said. I listened to the creak of my chair as I swiveled while listening to you. I opened my eyes and I saw the white sheets of typescript of my new book and the yellow pencils and the yellow tiger sharpener. And what I wrote, this is the waking dream, is the tiger is out of the pencil sharpener and his meaty breath in my face makes it clear he wants me to sharpen my craft. I've got a pencil sharpener in the shape of a tiger, but it just became the tiger sticking his face and his meaty breath into mine, which I rather like. So that in itself is a miniature poem. Actually, I wrote several more lines. And I was wondering as I listened to you whether I was really going to write a poem about a strange phrase from a dream from last night, which was tungsten, like the metal, tungsten engine. I have no idea what that means, except that in my dream, a friend is telling me her dream, and in her dream, which goes into great detail, which I didn't necessarily retain, someone on the other side of death is sending a tungsten engine every day into this world. And this is not the dream I'm going to share with you because it requires too much research. And I thought, okay, tungsten, metal, the underworld, the Greeks thought that metals came from the realm of Hades, the wealthy Pluto, Hades. But tungsten's interesting metal. And then I went online, and I sort of got rather non-poetic because tungsten turns out to be the code for some kind of gee whiz new computer programming setup. And the guy on the other side was into that. So I realized I might have been dreaming into the afterlife situation with someone who made a fortune in the world of software and computers is still active between the worlds. I won't go off too far on that tangent, but I did wonder whether I was supposed to write about tungsten engines poetically, and I'm going to leave my inner jury out on that. But a nice exercise, Martin. Thanks for taking us a bit into your own creative process. Why don't you give us another poem, and we'll riff on that.
Okay. So here's one. Since I was a child, I've had a lot of very scary dreams, what we could call nightmares, although I also realize these are powerful dreams that come to us to bring us really helpful messages. So this is one that
I want to talk to you about much more. But let's have the poem, and then let's come back to that theme that there might be power even in a scary dream, a nightmare, if we look at it in the right way.
Okay, well, this one is called Hissing at Vampires.
Hmm.
Hawk flies over and back again. One last cricket of summer chirps slowly. Sticky buds reach toward heaven, rich with soothing oil, anointing bee and spider, whose venom may heal if we allow ourselves to be bitten. Hissing at vampires in our kitchens, screaming like witches under the waterfall to terrify the souls of the wicked. Knowing that the lion is in our heart, the ancestors are at our back, and for now, orange and purple flowers are cascading down around us.
I must say, if the lion is at the heart and the ancestors are at the back, we might not have too much to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting poem. By the way, we're hearing poems from Mauta Ali's new collection, Dream Worlds. How do people get hold of this book, Mauta? They have to contact you, right? How do they do
that? Yeah, I just, I self-published this book. So if you go to my creativity website, that is spiralmystic.com.
Spiralmystic, singular or plural?
Singular.
Singular.
Spiralmystic.com.
Okay, spiralmystic.com. Yeah. That's how you find Mauta, and that's how you find her poetry collection, Dream Worlds, which I highly recommend, but also put up a link at my website when we get to that. Okay, let's riff on the dream and the theme that you raised before reading the poem, which is that scary dreams and nightmares might be a source of power if we're willing to work with them and look at them in a certain way. Talk to me about that. This is so important.
Well, I've had a lot of scary characters, animals mostly, and insects in my dreams, and they generally recur. So I'll have a long series. For many years, I had a series of spider dreams and other series of wolf dreams. And as I work with this over time, the fear that I have has transformed into something creative and really inspirational in my life. So spiders, for instance, I used to have dreams where they were crawling all over me and they were sticky and I couldn't get them off and I felt really panicked and trapped, like they were going to harm me and I couldn't get away from them. And then in my dreams, the spiders themselves started to get bigger and bigger and bigger until I had some huge spiders in my dream. Then I was teaching a dream workshop a couple of years ago, and as we were talking about spider, there was a literal spider that dropped down from the ceiling in between two of us as we sat on the floor, and it dropped to the floor and crawled around and was there for the rest of the workshop. So then we did a tarot card reading, an oracle card reading, and someone drew the spider card.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing these scary dreams into waking life, working with them in these dream workshops where powerful dreamers come together, it started to finally dawn on me, took me a long time, that this spider was reminding me of my creativity. And that I have feared going into my creativity because it's so vulnerable and because I fear not being good enough and not being accepted. But it's also something that I want more than anything. So now spider comes to me, and spiders are in my house too, and I'm not scared of them anymore, and I see them as inspirations and tremendous gifts in my life that encourage me to write poetry and encourage me to do more dream groups and to write about dreaming and to do the work that I'm doing as a singer and to just put all of these things that are so important to me and to others out into the world.
This is so very interesting. I mean, the spider in your dreams is not necessarily the spider in my dreams or anybody else's, but the way that it spilled from your dream into waking life is so very, very fascinating, and your way of dealing with it creatively is really very good. I remember a woman I worked with years ago who was terrified by dreams of the spider that kept getting bigger and bigger. When she was finally persuaded to go back inside the dream and face the spider, which she absolutely did not want to do, but faced it for long enough, it turned into a beautiful native woman, some version of Spider Woman, gave her the gift. The gift of changing the energy web of her body so she didn't need to get the disease that she had associated with the spider, and so she could enter a new creative period in her life as an artist, and all of that worked out just fine. But someone else I can think about had creepy dreams of spiders. When she went back inside, which is one of our core techniques, dream reentry, of course, she had to kill the spiders or cleanse the house. It was different. There were different dreams, different spiders, different situations. So the solution is not going to be the same from one dream or one dreamer to another, but the basic method needs to be the same. We need to face these challenges on whatever ground they present themselves and deal with them, because they're personal imagery, which means they're coming to us in the right time for a reason. All right, we're talking to Marta Ali, therapist, teacher of active dreaming, poet, author of Dream Worlds. We'll be back after the break. This is Robert Marsh. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right, you can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do hop over to my website, mossdreams.com. You'll get my events calendar of all sorts of adventures I'm leading all over the place, including my online video classes for the Shift Network and books and the audio version of Dreaming the Soul Back Home, which is out. But right now we're talking to Marta Ali about her book, Dream Worlds, a collection of dream-inspired poems. Marta, why don't you give us one more poem, and then we'll play with that for a bit.
Okay, so here's something a little gentler, perhaps.
We're not going to get bitten or stung by angels this time?
No.
Okay.
But we do have animals again.
Oh, that's great.
So this one is called Into the New Year.
Okay.
He drew the honeybee for luck, just as he had asked. She, the serpent, for knowledge and healing. Falling into faraway lands, hoping for something to bring back, something to encourage and uplift, something to carry into the new year. That night, in the moist woods, they flowed down the river in a wide canoe. He in front, gently rowing, see in back, arms wrapped around the big dog with the long, soft fur. The trees dripped with moss, and the ferns were tinged with reds and golds.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, you know, and the ancients would like it too. I mean, the bee, the serpent, the dog, these are all allies of the deities in ancient traditions. I mean, I went very Greek for a while, but very Minoan, because the bees, and the bees are the Melissae, the bees are the priestesses of the great goddesses, the priestesses of Demeter, the mother goddess of growing things, the bees, and the snake, of course, is the snake of wisdom, the snake of earth, the snake that's the original owner of the oracle at Delphi, which is taken over by Apollo, and the dog, of course, is the psychopomp, the god of souls, in so many ways. It's lovely to have the dog with the trees dripping with moss. Thank you for the moss element in the poem. Very exciting. So I feel goddess connected by that poem, actually. You know, I'm just a mere man, but you know, I'm very fond of the goddess, and as we speak, we're in the season of the goddess rising into the springtime and so on. So that is very powerful. Martha, I'd like us to spend a little time doing our dream sharing process. And if you're ready, I'd like to share a very short and simple dream with you and have you play guide to me and guide me through the four steps of the process. And if you have a dream or something like a dream in the next segment, we'll do it the other way around. Would that be all right with you?
Sure. Great.
We may have to pause for a moment with the break, but that'll be right. We won't lose track. So if you're new to the show or new to the process, we're about to demonstrate what we call the lightning dream work process, the simple four-step technique by which we can help each other to share a dream or any kind of life story, actually, in a private and friendly way and get some feedback. So Marta's going to be my guide. She's going to be my teacher, and she's going to ask me if I have a dream. Are you going to do that?
Yes. Do you have a dream you'd like to share, Robert?
Yeah, it's a very short dream. It's a short dream report, of course. It might be a longer dream, but the report is short. And I'll call it, because the first thing is to get a title, I'll call it At Customs, like customs at an airport, customs control. So I'm at an airport. My wife is there in the background. It looks as if we've been traveling together. Maybe we're coming home. I'm waiting for a bag. I'm waiting for a bag, and I'm standing with someone I would call a customs official. He might be security, but I think he's actually in civilian clothes. He's like an authority figure. He's very pleasant. He's quite charming. I'm enjoying his company. He's waiting with me. And I have on the floor next to me two bags. One is like a sort of fabric carry bag, and I know that it's got several bottles of wine in it. It's got five or six bottles of wine, which is more than you're supposed to carry duty-free, but he's not fussed about that. He's asking me what's in the bag. So I say, oh, wine, fine. In the other bag, which is another kind of carry bag, I think it's got a zipper, but it's a simple bag, there are a lot of things that look like metal dishes or metal trays or metal plates, and some look like bronze and quite ancient and quite valuable. And he says, what's in this bag? And I say, oh, those are housewares that my wife picked up. Well, they're clearly not ordinary housewares, and he knows that, but he's fine with my response. Something going on there that's mysterious and ancient and interesting. And now we're now coming through the sort of X-ray machine, so it's a bit like the security check place. Comes a beautiful, old, weathered, brown carry-on bag. It's not a satchel, but it's got that stylish quality of a period sort of carry-on bag. Very gentleman's carry bag, brown leather, weathered. And this is what I'm waiting for. It's coming out through the X-ray machine, and things are fine. But I notice that there are three pieces of white tape on the bag, on the outside of the bag, that were not there before, and I don't know what's going on. And this is actually all that I'm going to share with you from the dream. It's about all that I recorded. So it's a vignette, but there we are.
And these are three pieces of white tape, you said.
They're like white tape. They might have a barcode or some print on them. It's a bit hard to see from my vantage point. Oh, there's one more detail. Now I'm good to go, and I say to the friendly customs guy, I thank him for his kindness, and I say, and next time round, I'll do the same for you, which is an odd way to part company with a customs or security official at the airport. Next time round, I'll do the same for you. So I will add at that moment, it's clear this is not a regular airport situation. There's something else going on.
And how did you feel when you woke up from this dream?
I felt very intrigued. I mean, I felt pleased. I mean, I felt cheerful. I felt things are fine. I'm good to go in whatever sense that might mean, so I'm most cheerful and curious.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. You do travel a lot. You do travel a lot, right?
I do.
So you go to customs a lot.
I do. I travel a lot, and and also in my dreams, I'm very often at airports or places like that, which are not necessarily literal airports. The airport in my dream is one of those imaginal locations as well as a possible future location where interesting things happen. And getting on another plane in my dreams is often about getting to another level of reality. So the scene is familiar to me in both senses. First of all, I fly a great deal. I go in and out of airports all the time in the physical world. But secondly, I travel in my dreams to these locations a great deal. And also, the moment of being checked at the border, my passport, customs, security, etc., is a liminal moment in ordinary life, but also in dream life. So I find again and again in my dreams the moment of encounter with the gatekeeper figure, who might be the customs official or passport control or border guard, is very symbolic as well as, you know, possible sense of future situation. So it's a generically very familiar situation to me in both worlds, in the physical world and the dream world. And it's one that intrigues me.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything that stands out to you in this dream, or is there anything you really want to know from this dream?
Well, I'm intensely curious about these so-called housewares. These are not pots and pans. I say my wife picked them up. The customs guy knows they're more than the regular housewares. It's like they're temple items, like they're votive plates of the goddess or something like that. There's that quality of something ancient and valuable and even sacred. So I'm curious about that. I'm especially curious about what is in the old but beautiful and bag and why it's been taped up. That is not clear from the dream. I've tried to stick my head back into the dream, but I don't actually know at the time of coming out of the dream what's going on. So we're going to pause there because we have to take a short break. And when we come back, Marta's going to do our If It Were My Dream process. And again, if you're new to this, the way to learn to comment on dreams or life stories from someone else is not to tell them what you think it means. It actually doesn't matter whether you know what it means or not. What matters is you goading them and prompting them to come up with their own sense of meaning. And to do that, we begin our commentary by saying, if it were my dream, or if it were my life. So that's the point at which we're taking the pause. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss, and Robert Moss is very keen to come back because Mount Ali is going to guide him on his dream.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Right before the break, we've reached the point in my telling a very simple dream report where Marta Ali was going to give me some suggestions for her point of view, starting by saying, I think, if it were my dream, what have you got for me, Marta?
Mm-hmm. Well, if this were my dream, I'm interested in the fact that, so I'm traveling, And I have my wife with me. So I have my masculine and my feminine with me. So here's this pair. If I'm a masculine dreamer, if I'm a male dreamer. So I have my masculine and my feminine. And then I come through customs. I'm coming through some kind of portal or gateway in my travels. And again, I have two of something. I have two bags. So another pair. One is a bag full of bottles of wine, too many for what I'm allowed, but I know I can get away with it. And the other with these ancient sacred housewares. So I have wine and I have housewares from some kind of temple or maybe a ritual sort of purpose. So it makes me think of, am I going to be performing some kind of rites or ritual that would also involve wine? You know, Greek traditions come to mind for that. And then in the X-ray machine, so through the X-ray, what shows us what's inside is this weathered gentleman's bag, very fine quality. And if it were my dream, I would think, well, maybe that's an aspect of me on the inside. I'm something fine and weathered, and I've traveled a lot, right? I have that sense of being having been a lot of places. And the first thought I had with this white tape with the stickers is that, like, you get a sticker, a box that's traveling keeps getting stickers put on it as it goes through further and further.
Yeah.
Passages. So I think of that this is an inner part of me that has traveled many, many journeys.
Yes.
And when I come to this gatekeeper and he's kind towards me and he maybe lets me take in extra wine or he respects me, I know that I will also help him pass whatever passages he needs to go through. And I also think of that in terms of dream work. I help people go through their passageways in their dream work, and they also help me through mine. So I think of the dreaming community and how we help each other.
That's really lovely. I love every aspect of it. I didn't say in the reality check, my wife and I don't travel together by plane more than once a year, whereas I take dozens and dozens of flights, so it makes sense. See her as the feminine aspect of myself. And the plates, which I now tend to see as sort of goddess plates, I've been looking at pictures of votive plates depicting Persephone enthroned with Hades, for example. And the wine, which I associate with Dionysus. I mean, as you'll pick up, I've gone very Greek again recently. I just wrote a chapter very much about the Persephone, Demeter, Dionysus story. I don't think I'd really got into that at the time of the dream. I think the dream preceded that. And I didn't make the strong association until afterwards, and it wasn't as strong as I'm making it now. I think in some ways the dream was preparation for a new cycle of writing and work in which I'm doing a lot of goddess-centered stuff and drawing heavily on the Greek myths and giving a different tilt, since I'm a mere man, to these goddess stories. And I think the bag, yes, I'm a bit of a weathered gentleman myself. I'm capable of being a gentleman. When I go to the doctor, my annual physical, who says, how are you? I say, well, there's something called mileage. That's the first response. And yes, the travel stickers, that's one, or the security stickers, that's entirely possible. It's also possible that the kind of tape you put on is a bag has been ripped and damaged a bit to hold it together. And my impression of the bag now, I think it's all the things you said, my impression of the bag is now that it also, of course I'm a writer, it also holds the typescript of a new book. That's my feeling, that I'm waiting for the new book to be popped out of the X-ray machine the way a baby might be popped out of the mother's body. So everything that you said resonates with me deeply, adds to my enjoyment of the dream and demonstrates the sheer pleasure of talking about these things. I mean, I think there's some dreams we want to hold close because they're intensely personal. There's some things that we might feel embarrassing. There's some things we might feel are so powerful we don't want to share them with just anyone. But many of our dreams are shared in the right way, the way that we're demonstrating. And the substance of really good conversation, it is very satisfying to get some intelligent feedback. And as I say, the beauty of our process is the person offering the feedback doesn't have to be right or wrong. I think you're on the money with everything that you said in the case of my dream. But I can hear from someone whose comments leave me cold and still be grateful in the sense that the comments make me think more deeply about what the dream means to me. So sometimes a comment that is less intuitive or less on the mark than your comments will help me to home in on what matters to me. And the last part of this process, is always to ask people if they've got an action plan.
Mm-hmm. So what is your action plan?
Well, I realize I've been enacting this dream since this dream was about a week ago. Since the dream, I've actually written a chapter on the Persephone story, out of which Dionysus is born, Dionysus, god of wine. And in the course of researching the story, I found some incredible votive plates, similar perhaps to the dishes or housewares in the bag, showing Demeter as the great goddess. They come from southern Italy. They're really extraordinary. They show enthroned with Hades. Clearly, if either of the couple is the senior, it is Persephone who's become the great deity. So I've been writing something that I think relates to what's going on in this. And I do take very seriously and also very playfully what you said about, I'm using my words now, about how I'm telling the gatekeeper at the airport that I'll befriend a gatekeeper for him in another situation. Because I suppose when it comes to the dream work and the kind of exploration we do, I do play gatekeeper. I always start in my programs by invoking the gatekeeper in universal way. And I myself, I think, to some extent, embody the person at the border who's going to admit you and show you around, etc. So I will try to remember to be an even more friendly gatekeeper while, you know, policing the things that need to be policed, not worrying too much about the extra bottle of wine, but maybe worrying about some other aspects of things.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And, you know, if it were, I might also think about in my writing process and opening up this bag to reveal the next creation that I'm going to put out in the world, I might want to offer something to Dionysus with wine and maybe even do a little ritual of some kind that brings together the masculine and the feminine as an offering to begin my creative process.
Well, that's a very good idea. I have plenty of wine available now, so I might just do that.
Yes, I imagine so.
Thank you. Well, we've run out of time for this segment. We're going to take another break. If you have a dream that you could tell briefly, we can, we'll try and do the process for you. We might be rushed a little bit, so if we're going to do that, forgive me if we have to move pretty fast. Would that be okay with you?
Yes, I have a short dream that I think would be good.
All right.
Yeah.
We've got to take a short break. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Noss. Martha Ali is our fabulous guest. If you'd like to find the poetry collection Dream Worlds, go to spiralmystic.com. We'll be back after the break.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com. webcasting.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. I've asked Martha Ali, therapist, dream teacher, poet, to guide, to offer a short dream report, which I can work with her. Go ahead.
Okay, so here's a dream called Snake Bicycle Tires.
Okay.
I'm walking down the street, and my husband, Brett, is walking a bicycle down the sidewalk on the other side of the street. So we're walking along parallel to each other. It's a quiet, tree-lined residential neighborhood, and there are some cars going by, but it's generally quiet. I see a long, thin snake on the grass. It's black with two narrow green stripes down its sides. It's in a beautiful shape on the grass, like a figure eight and a spiral, and it's moving energetically. It goes very quickly across the street towards Brett, my husband. I call out to him to tell him, and he's scared at first. But then the snake wraps itself around and becomes his bicycle tires, which look just like the snake. They are also black with these narrow green stripes around the sides. So the snake becomes, the figure eight turns into his bicycle tires.
Mm. I love this dream. So let's do our process. What are your first feelings around the dream?
I wake up feeling really excited and energized.
This is Brett, as your husband. Do you know the neighborhood in the dream?
Yeah, it feels like the town I used to live in Madison, Wisconsin. It feels like the East Side, which is a really wonderful neighborhood, very friendly, and lots of great people, a great community.
Do you guys ride bikes?
Not too much. You know, we used to.
We know you have a close relationship with snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe your husband's been evolving his personal relationship with snakes. Would that be an accurate statement?
Yes, I would say that, living with me, definitely.
What do you want to know about the dream?
Well, you know, the snake itself is interesting to me because this is actually a little snake that I saw during one of our dream workshops at Mosswood Hollow. I saw it was a little racer, and it's black with the green stripes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came home, I worked with that image quite a bit in our week-long workshop. It was one of the dream teacher trainings.
Right.
When I came home from that week-long workshop, I didn't tell Brett about the snake, but we went to sleep. It was at night, so we went to sleep. And in the morning, he woke up and had a snake in his dream. And then I told him that I had worked with this snake a lot during that training. So okay. There's something that connects us to that particular snake.
Well, if it's my dream, I mean, I go always transversal about these things before it is what part of me thing. If this is my dream, this is my spouse and not simply a part of me. And I'm bringing him into the mystery. I mean, I am connected with the snake and all that it represents. And I just confirmed that with the episode from the retreat center where we do some of our advanced work. He's coming on board big time. He's actually riding the cosmic serpent. And before you said it was a figure eight, I saw it as a figure eight, for which one of the names would be a lemniscate, the infinity symbol, moving like that. It's a cosmic serpent. It's also got qualities of the cosmic serpent known as the Ouroboros, but that's just the snake biting its tail. This is even better. This is the moving Möbius serpentine strip of infinity. So, I mean, I'd just be delighted to think that, you know, my partner's getting really on board with this and is not only accepting it, but is able to ride it, and I, to some extent, am the one who has been able to gift or project this into his world in a happy way, which means coming with the snake are all the things we associate with the serpent, the connection with the earth, the ability to shed your skin, and actually the almost cosmic symbolism in the infinity side, the Ouroboros. What is the bicycle? The bicycle is a vehicle which we can ride by ourselves. It doesn't require fossil fuels. It doesn't leave a carbon footprint. It's a way we can get around in a free and easy way, freewheeling way. It's got some sexual energy, too, getting on a bicycle, just as a snake does. So I would be absolutely delighted and excited, if this is my dream, to feel that an energy that I know well and value so deeply is now being shared within the marriage, within the partnership on this deep level.
Yeah.
Anything you need to do with this that you're not doing already? Or anything you need to continue that you're doing already? Maybe get on a bike sometime? Is that possible?
Well, he always wants to go bike riding, and then we always... You know, we don't have time and we're too busy. So, yes, definitely.
Oh, I tell him it's time
riding.
To ride the cosmic serpent.
Yeah, and also, you know, we're both musicians and we play with other people and we play, you know, in a group together. But I really would love us to do some duets together and do some recording and to play together, just the two of us. So this to me is also a message that we have some of our musical creative projects to do as a duo, you know, a bicycle as the two of us.
Mm. That's really interesting. I mean, the two of you are out on your own expedition and these extraordinary things are going on. That does seem to bode well for the effort to do something as a duet. Something we sometimes do in order to get temporary closure for a dream work process is we ask for a one-liner, a mantra, a slogan, a bumper sticker that sums up some of the energy or direction of the dream and the discussion. Do you have a one-liner, a bumper sticker arising from this particular dream?
Something like ride the bicycle with the snake tires.
Okay, I'll ride the cosmic serpent. My mind veers off into mythic territory terribly quickly, and I'm seeing the serpent that surrounds and protects the pharaoh, or Ra himself, the sun god, on his voyage through the night worlds. When the sun god himself, rides through the night worlds, he is protected by the Mehen serpent, which there are many serpents in Egypt, but he is surrounded by the Mehen serpent. That is usually shown as something forming a kind of parasol over his head. For some reason, I feel the energy of the cosmic infinity-shaped, you know, bike tires represent something like that. So for me, it's more than just the bike tires. This is about staying with, working with, moving with a vast energy, a vast and ancient energy, which puts us into really interesting territory. What a fascinating dream. And it's an example of, I mean, Joseph Campbell talked about this a lot. He didn't invent the idea, but I want to sort of riff on it. You know, our dreams are our personal myths, aren't they? They're our private myths. And the myths we pick up from the collective memory of humanity are our collective dreams. I mean, they interweave with each other. This is part of the fascination of dream work, as we hear each other's dreams. We recognize as things that sound like universal symbols and maybe sometimes universal symptoms, we recognize something like that, maybe from mythology, maybe from our own dreams. And then you home in that neighborhood in Madison, Wisconsin. It's not just anywhere. It's a nice neighborhood in Madison, which might be a nice place to take a gentle outing on a bike, whether or not you meet a black serpent with green stripes. So it's your dream. It's not simply the universal symbol. It's your dream. It's that neighborhood in Madison where maybe you'll go with Brett, and it's your partner, and you're going to do duets together. So there's a double fascination of being connected with a never-ending story, a universal symbol, but also having something that is so richly and specifically personal. Great combination. All right, we're talking to Mata Ali, her collection of poetry, and she's quoted a few, really, really interesting. It's called Dream World. You can find her in her book of poems at spiralmystic.com. We'll be back in a moment basically to say thank you and dream on. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Noss.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You've been listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Noss. Our wonderful guest is Mata Ali. Mata, thank you so much for coming on, for sharing your poetry and where it comes from and your dream of the bike with snake tires. What fun it is to share with you.
Thank you so much, Robert. This has been wonderful.
All right. Well, to Mata and to Jay, our incredibly hardworking, wonderful engineer, producer, and to everybody listening, may your best dreams come true. And may you remember them.